Our son Ben and his wife Rachel were away on holidays a few weeks back and were a bit shocked when they got back from holidays to discover that their unit had been broken into. It's always a little bit of a shock when you come home to something like that. As they were just having a quick look around to see what had been taken, they, using their incredible powers of deduction, within about 5 minutes concluded, correctly by the way, that the thief was a woman. They based this remarkable deduction upon the fact that the thief left behind the brand new PlayStation with all the computer games, but stole the Dyson vacuum cleaner. Now, I'm just going to do a test here. Guys, if you have a choice between a Dyson vacuum cleaner and a brand new PlayStation with new computer games, who's choosing the vacuum cleaner? Who's choosing the computer games? Absolutely right. Had to be a woman who stole the vacuum cleaner. Hey, today we're continuing our series one, focusing on how everyone benefits when we work together as one. Now, when I was growing up, I was told to never in public talk about politics or faith because those topics were too sensitive. Recent research says that it's changed a little bit, and now the two most sensitive topics to talk about today are death and money. I've got some good news for you today. I'm not talking about politics or death. I will, though, the bad news, I will be talking a little bit about faith and finances and what that means for us here at 1:1 over the next little while. Now, of course, it's quite appropriate that about once a year as a church, we ask our regulars to prayerfully consider their contribution to the life of our church. And today I'm inviting us all to pray a single simple prayer. Lord, how are you asking me to use my treasure, my time, and my talents for your glory? A single simple prayer. Now, let me just take a moment and quickly acknowledge that there'll be some guests here today. If that's you, then I hope you understand that today's message is for our regulars. And there'll also be some newcomers, people who are newer to the life of our church, maybe considering whether you want to call 1:1 your spiritual home. Please also be understanding. I hope, though, that today's message will give you an idea of who we are and where we are going as a church. We're up to week 5 in our series, working our way through Philippians. We're up to Philippians chapter 4. There's a section in chapter 4 where Paul discusses with the Philippians this whole issue of what I've termed for today's message, provision. How does God provide for his vision and for our lives? The word provision, made up of two other words, pro and vision. Two words stuck together. It means literally to look ahead. We could define it as looking ahead and supplying the resources required for our future. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about today. How does God provide the resources that we require for our future? Personally, and together as a church. Great verse, many of you will know it, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, says, "My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Three ideas this morning from this passage in Philippians 4. The first idea is thank you. thank you for your generosity. Paul says in verse 10, he's writing to the Philippians, he's received a number of gifts from them over many years, and some really helpful financial gifts in the last few weeks or months. And he says, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. His simple way of saying thank you. Thank you for your generosity. And of course, there is this long history of generosity with the Philippians that goes back about 12 years from when Paul first rocked up in Philippi, started preaching the gospel. On the very first day he preached, a lady called Lydia became a Christian, was baptized. And straight after the baptism, she volunteered her time and her talents by saying, hey, guys, why don't you come and stay at my home? Why don't you come and stay with me? That's an invite to Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke and maybe one or two others who were on that team of people. Of course, we know that the Philippians also gave of their talents. People like Epaphroditus, who took the gifts to Paul in Rome, Luke, who had travelled with Paul at different times, who was one of the leaders at Philippi, two outstanding Christian women, Euodia and Syntyche, another Christian leader, a guy called Clement, and Paul then refers to a group, his fellow co-workers. This contribution of time and talents. And of course, they also gave from their treasure, sending aid to Paul when he was just down the road in Thessalonica, supporting the Jerusalem offering that Paul took up to raise funds when Jerusalem was really struggling. The Christians there were struggling because of a severe famine. And then just more recently, when Epaphroditus had rocked up in Rome with those gifts, that had been such a tremendous blessing to him. Thank you. I want to take a moment and say thank you to you. Thank you for your generosity. I want to say thank you, firstly, on behalf of our church, but also I want to extend my personal gratitude to everyone here and everyone who gives so generously of their treasure, of their time, or of their talents. Thank you for how you give to support our ministry. And if you open up that Imagine booklet to the page which has got that sort of vision update, what's been happening here at One to One, I want to say thank you because it's your generosity of treasure and time and talents that makes everything that is written on that page possible. It's because of your generosity that our children's and youth ministries are thriving. It's because of your generosity that our Sunday services, that the number of people here on a Sunday has doubled in the last few years. It's because of your generosity that we have more than 30 different life groups, more than 250 different people involved in ministry, 70 different people involved in leadership. It's because of your generosity that we are able to support initially 10 and now another 10 church planting projects in the Philippines. Because of your generosity, everyone really does benefit when you and I work together as one. But I don't just this morning want you to hear my thank you or our thank you. I want you to also hear God's thank you. Paul makes a special point when he's writing to the Philippians of not only expressing his thanks, but of telling them that God is thankful as well. He says it most clearly in chapter 4, verse 18, when he says to them that their generosity, the investment that they have made, their treasure, their time, and their talents, that investment in God's purposes, is a fragrant offering. It's an acceptable sacrifice. It's pleasing to God. And so for every single one of us here this morning, I want you to hear God saying exactly those same words to you. However you choose to serve God, God is saying, when you do, it's a fragrant offering. It's an acceptable sacrifice. It's pleasing to God. The second idea I want to pick up from these verses today is that God will meet all our needs. Verse 19, that's our key verse for the message today. My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Let me get you to reflect for a moment. How have you seen God meet your needs? How have you seen God meet your needs? Paul's situation, he's writing it and reflecting on his own experience of God, was this. In AD 57, he was arrested in Jerusalem. He was held under arrest there for a period of some time before he was moved to Caesarea, where he again stayed under arrest for more than 2 years. Then it was decided he would go to Rome to be tried. So while under arrest, he went on this long and arduous journey that took several months to get into Rome. And then when he was in Rome, we're told that he was under house arrest, having to rent his own home and pay for the rent in Rome for 2 years before he was finally released, somewhere probably in the middle of AD 62, 5 years under arrest. Now, back then, they did this arrest, you're in prison thing a little bit differently. Today, if someone gets arrested and goes to prison or they're awaiting trial, the government pays for all their needs. Provides them with accommodation, puts food on the table, gives them the clothing that they're going to need. The government pays the bills. But back in Paul's day, the prisoner had to pay his own expenses. Paul had 5 years under arrest where he had to pay his own rent and food and clothing and everything else associated with just trying to live while under house arrest for 5 years while he was unable to work or earn any income. Paul knew what it was like to have to rely on God to meet all his needs. And God had. And in fact, just recently, as the Philippians knew, they had been part of God's answer and God's provision. They'd heard that he was doing it a little bit tough. They'd raised some money in some different ways. And then they'd, Epaphroditus had quit his job, given up several months of his time, travelled all the way to Rome, spent time there looking after Paul, caring for his needs, being a practical and spiritual support to him, having taken those gifts with him. Paul says about that. He said that God had provided for him through the Philippians, and he said this, I have more than enough. I am amply supplied. How has God met your needs? I was reflecting on that question myself through the week. Patty and I, throughout our marriage, have always relied upon God to meet our needs on one hand, and on the other hand, always had a practice where we've honoured God with our own finances by giving a minimum of 10% of our income to our home church. That's been our sort of minimum all the way through our life together. During those years together, we've really had three different seasons that we've moved in and out of over that journey. One of the seasons that we've had is when we've been what I call limbs, L-I-M-B, like the limb in a branch. Why limbs? It stands for limited income, many bills. Anybody else ever felt like they're out on a limb? Limited income, many bills. In those times, Paul would talk about times when we're feeling a sense of we're in need. In those times, we've continued to honour God, and God has just been incredibly faithful to us all the way through. We've had another season that we've been in two or three times where what I call being SISKS, S-I-S-K, which stands for single income starving kids. Anyone else ever been in a chapter single income starving kids? In fact, we went for 10 years where the only thing our children ever said to us was, "I'm starving, what can I eat?" The only communication we had from our boys for 10, I'm sure that's the only thing they ever said to us. And again, we continue to try to honour God with our giving, and our experience was God just came through for us again and again through the years. Now, there's a third season, which is the season we're in at the moment. At the moment, we are dinks. Most of you know what a dink is, D-I-N-K. That is double income, no kids. That's right. It's a pretty good season, the dink season. Double income, no kids. And it's interesting when you're in this particular season, because it is a season of plenty and it's a season of surplus. That's the reality of it. And when you sit down and think about, oh, my God will meet all our needs, well, the reality is that in this season, God is meeting all our needs through our salaries, our wages, and in fact, not just meeting all our needs. There is a surplus beyond all our needs. And we've been in this chapter pretty much for the whole time that we've been here at One to One. 7 years coming up to the end of eight. And each year we have a habit of doing what we encourage everyone to do is to take a moment every year and think about how we want to invest our treasure, our time and our talents for the 12 months ahead. We do that every year. We've been involved in that process, obviously, over the last two or three weeks. And what we've done in this season of plenty, this season of surplus, is we've been challenged to increase our giving each year by about 1%. And we'll continue to do that through the next financial year, the next 12 months. Why do we do that? It's not just an issue about honouring God. It's not just an issue of trusting God to meet our needs, to be honest. When I sit there and I think, why do I get excited about being in a season of surplus where we can give more to support the ministry of this church? The reason I get excited is because it's such an amazing opportunity to make the difference, make a difference in the lives of others, and especially the teenagers and the children who are such an important and wonderful and energising part of our church. Now, someone this morning after the first service did remind me that there is a fourth season. Patty and I haven't got to this season yet, but apparently there is a fourth one. It's the ski season. when you may actually go skiing, but ski season is spending the kids' inheritance. And skiing apparently is a really good way to do it, I'm told. But anyway, I can't speak to you about that season. I've not been there yet. But what I do want to do is encourage you about God's promises to each of us, whatever season we're in. I want you to hear God speaking to you this morning. Jesus said this. Can you hear these words as him speaking to you? He said, "Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." I want you to hear God's promises today. My God will meet all your needs, whatever your season, according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to pause for a moment right now and pray together. And I want to create a moment of silence where each of us here today can take a moment to bring our needs to God and claim his promise that he will provide for all your needs. Let's pray together. Let's pray together right now. Take this moment to bring your needs to God in prayer. Father, we do just thank you that we can come before you today and bring our needs. Lord, we join together and bring all of these needs that have been mentioned in prayer. We bring them all to you together. And Lord, together we thank you that whatever these needs might be in people's lives this morning, that you have promised that you will provide for all our needs according to your riches in glory, in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Final idea this morning is let's store up treasure in heaven. Now, Paul says in Philippians 4:17, he says something really interesting. He's writing back to them. They've given him a gift. He's writing back to say thank you. And he says, What I really want for you is that more would be credited to your account. Now, he's not thinking about their bank account and that suddenly there'll be some extra money that'll occur in their bank account. A little bit, who's played Monopoly over the years? Remember that community chess card? Was it bank error in your favour? You go to your bank, suddenly it's got more money in it, your account's got more money in it. That'd be nice, but I don't think that's what he's talking about here. I think Paul is talking about treasure in heaven, storing up, investing in our spiritual nest egg in heaven. Interesting idea, isn't it? Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. At another point, he said to the rich young man, he said, hey, you need to sell your possessions and start giving to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves for the coming age, in heaven, in other words. What is this treasure in heaven? You know, are some of us going to have all these sorts of like bank accounts where we've got all these extra spiritual perks and privileges? Well, I don't think so, because it's pretty clear that in terms of grace and forgiveness and eternal life, we're saved. We're saved as a free gift from God. and there's nothing we can do to earn it. We're told that every spiritual blessing is already ours because of our close personal relationship with Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. And there's no indication that in heaven, you know, like different areas of heaven are sort of roped off and you've got to pay an admission fee to get in to see this particular site. Do you have enough in your account? There's nothing like that anywhere in the scriptures. What is this treasure in heaven? I think it's people. Jesus said, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed by people whose lives you have impacted into eternal dwellings. Some of you remember a few weeks back when we did the Imagine Heaven series, and one of the weeks we talked about relationships, and there was an interview we watched with a guy called Don Piper who was in a fatal car accident, hit by a semi-trailer, instantly dead, resuscitated about 90 minutes later, miraculously. But in that 90 minutes, he talked about his experience of heaven. And in one place, he said this. He says, I was in heaven, surrounded by people I had known and loved in this life who had preceded me to heaven, and we were having a spectacular time. I was having the greatest reunion you could possibly imagine. When we use our treasure, our time, and our talents for God's glory, then more people are reached, and more lives are renewed, and more ministries are released. And the consequence of that is that as more people come to faith in Christ as their Lord and Saviour, we can have this confidence that there'll come a day in heaven when we will be welcomed by all these people who have been impacted, sometimes very directly and very personally, sometimes indirectly and impersonally, but impacted by us, who will come up to us and say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for how you used your treasure, your time, and your talents. Thank you for the amazing children and youth ministry centre that you built and renovated in your church facility in Gillies Street in Ballarat. Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you. That's where I played games. That's where I learned about Jesus. That's where I made friends. That's where I became a Christian. That's where I was baptised. Thank you. Thank you for taking me to SYG. Thank you for supporting me in our life group. Thank you for involving me in ministry. Thank you for praying for me in the tough times. Thank you for sharing your faith with me. And there'll be people from all over, including people we've never met, come from remote villages in Indonesia, who will be saying thank you for supporting the project in our village. Thank you for supporting our pastor. He led me to faith in Christ. Without you, I wouldn't be here in heaven with you. I think that's the treasure. That's the treasure we can store up. Let's store up treasure in heaven. How can we do that practically? On that little response card you've got there in your Imagine booklet, three questions. How is God asking you to use your treasure for his glory, to use your time for his glory, to use your talents for his glory? Please take that home. Pray about those questions. Bring back your response in the envelope next Sunday and join us in celebrating. But as you do that, remember this. We are more concerned about you than about how you use your treasure and your time and your talents. Whatever you choose to do, you are welcome here at One to One Church. But we can get started right now. When Paul reflected on the Philippians and their generosity, he made this observation about them. He said, they gave themselves first of all to the Lord. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord. Friends, we're going to have communion together now. Could I invite the team, please, to come and distribute communion? And during this time of communion, let's use this app as an opportunity to give ourselves to the Lord, to make or renew or deepen our commitment to Christ as our personal Lord and Saviour.